From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
And welcome to the Disc Golf News for the week of March 22nd, 2004. I'm Brian Sullivan. Our show is sponsored this week by the folks at Discovering the World. You can discover them online at dtworld.com. Coming up this time, results from the St. Paddy's Classic in Sacramento, plus Todd Branch tackles that age-old question of why does my disc fly off to the left in this week's 60-second clinic. We'll preview this weekend's Melbourne Open in sunny Florida and the PDGA Disciplinary Committee. Cracking the whip, they are. What's up with that? We'll find out. Stick around.
Disc golfing should be inexpensive and fun. Discovering the World wants nothing more than to help you have fun. They offer a wide variety of disc golf and PDGA products. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Order ship within 24 hours, and there's a retail location open 7 days a week to deal with you personally. Call 714-522-2202 or visit dtworld.com to see the full selection available now from Discovering the World. The West Coast Pros were in Sacramento last weekend for the St. Patrick's Classic. Results right now, beginning with the Masters Division, where Johnny, Mr. Consistent Lissaman, stuck to his game plan. He wins 5-6 over Kenny Lee, Jim Oates taking third in the Masters. To the Women's Division, where Ruth Steele takes the crown from Annie Kremel. She wins by 5, Kathy Manley in third place. And to the Open Division, where Ray Noodles Johnson, with his first major PDGA win ever, wins by a single stroke over a four-way tie for second place that included John Child, Bruce Nicely, Jeff Lissaman, and Jason Herm. How are the conditions? Well, there were a few curveballs out there, according to tournament director Jim Oates.
The grass was up, and all the trees had bloomed, so every window that during past years has looked a little bit more open. You know, the course was playing tough all over the place as far as getting skips or slides or anything. You know, you'd hit thick grass and your disc would stop right there.
In the big picture this week, you may recall an old Pretenders song, Bad Boys Get Spanked. Well, in disc golf, bad boys get spanked by the PDGA Disciplinary Committee. They've been in the news lately, having to make a call in Texas, so we thought we'd track down Bill Newman to find out more about how that committee works and what their parameters are. Newman is an attorney by trade and happens to also be the committee chairman.
Let's talk about the current committee. Is this a secret society, so to speak, or are these publicly known names for everyone to harass if they end up on the wrong end of your list?
No, absolutely. I mean, I'm on the committee now since the start, and we have Conrad Demon from California, John Chapman from Kansas City, Joe Garcia from California, and finally Dave Nesbitt, the PDGA competition director. So, you know, all of us are fairly well known and easy to contact, and I think we all welcome phone calls or emails or whatever contact or questions people want to discuss with us.
I was looking online at the current list of players who have been under the microscope of your committee, and it strikes me that you hear a lot of players talking about how this person did this at this tournament and this person did that, yet this list is only about 10 players long. Any reason why? Do you have any comment on the size of the list?
Well, I mean, the people who are on the list are the ones who actually got suspended or they're on probation. And luckily, we haven't had a whole bunch of issues over the past few years. I mean, it seems like when the issues do come up, sometimes they get a lot of notoriety and people hear about them. But, you know, we had a long dry spell. We didn't have anything. We didn't have anything to do on our committee for about 8 months, which was fine with us. But you know, there just haven't been, luckily, a whole bunch of the number of issues that come to us just are not that great.
What are the kinds of infractions that come before the committee?
Mostly what we've seen is people breaking the law in terms of smoking marijuana, drinking beer at tournaments, getting drunk and unruly occasionally. Recently we had a situation where there was an accusation of some guys cheating at a tournament, breaking the rules that way. Trying to think what else, but unfortunately it's mostly been people breaking some of the new rules with respect to smoking marijuana and consuming other illegal drugs, or perhaps drinking alcohol at various tournaments. That seems to be the most common thing that we've come up with, that we've had problems with.
Once the disciplinary committee is asked to take action, what is the process?
Well, typically what happens with us is we will get an email from the PDGA office telling us that there, you know, some sort of an incident has come to their notice. And then what we typically will do is have one or two people on the disciplinary committee start investigating the situation. And that would typically consist of usually phone calls or emails to the tournament director, the people that were, you know, allegedly involved in the situation, and then also to typically other people in the group or people who witnessed what was going on. And then we will, after talking to these people, we'll then whoever spoke to them will get back in touch with the group, usually through emails, and maybe a day or two of emails going back and forth among the group, and then we'll do our best to come up with a recommendation. And the recommendation goes directly to Dale Posey, the commissioner. And he may ask us some more questions, or he may ask us to, you know, find out some more information about this or that, and then he'll make his decision. So our role really is to investigate, make a recommendation, and report back to the commissioner.
Bill Newman is an attorney and the volunteer chairman of the PDGA Disciplinary Committee. We spoke to him from his home in Mount Kisco, New York. Time now for the 60-Second Clinic. This week, professional disc golfer Todd Branch tackles a question that we have all asked at one point or another, and that is, why, when I try to throw my driver straight, does it go flying off to the left? This assuming you are a right-handed thrower using a backhand throwing motion. Here's what Todd has to say.
Assuming you're a right-hand backhand thrower, you're either using a disc that's too overstable, which means that it just is built in a way that it'll naturally fly off to the left, or you're throwing it too high in the air, because if you throw it up too high, the nose will be up, and they just tend to turn left no matter what when the nose is up. So for sure you have to keep your throws, you know, try and keep them right around eye level if you're trying to throw it straight. And if you're doing that and it still goes left, then start searching for either a straighter, a less overstable disc or a more understable disc. Or beat the ones you have up a little bit, and that'll tend to take a little bit of the stability out of them.
Todd Branch is a former PDGA competition director. He's been a full-time touring disc golfer for the past 5 years. Get geared up now at the PDGA Online Pro Shop, where you'll find discs, bags, official clothing, and more. Just arrived, the 2003 Pro Worlds and National Tour videos. The PDGA Online Pro Shop, PDGAstore.com. The big dogs are headed to Florida this weekend for the Melbourne Open. The tournament director is Ron Aldridge.
Ron Aldridge, give me a brief history of the Melbourne Open.
Well, the Melbourne Open has been around since 1991. The course got put in 1990 with the help of Dave Porter and Brevard County Parks Rec. And 91, with a lot of portables from everyone around the state, we were actually able to pull off a nice tournament, and it grew into one of the national tour events.
And who has won the event in the past couple of years?
Out of the past 13, Climo has won 10. We have Ron Russell in there with 2 in the later years, and last year Barry Schultz came in there.
And how about on the women's side?
The women's side in the early stages was Roxanne Spencer, who was an old 80s player, older 80s player. Then Deb Renner has come through the past few years, and last year Leslie Herndon came down and challenged her pretty well and took over that title.
If I am a player coming to shoot this event for the first time, what kind of challenges can I expect?
Well, we have a flat terrain, long most of the holes are between 300 and 400, with palmetto bushes tucked around the basket, but it's fairly simple as long as you're on your game as accuracy goes.
Ron, what makes the Melbourne Open unique? What makes it a really great event on the tour?
Other than the fact that our payout is tremendous. we stress that there's no stress. You're in Florida. You get to play against a lot of quality players, a lot of home past world champions that have resided in Florida now because of it being sunny Florida. And lunch isn't bad. We feed oysters, shrimp, all kinds of different varieties of food, even meatless for the vegetarian. And if everybody has a good time, 10 minutes away from the beach, an hour from Disney World, you can't beat that.
Ron Aldridge is the tournament director for this weekend's Melbourne Open in Melbourne, Florida. If you're going to the event, you'll want to know that the charity fundraiser for this one is called the Crane Toss. I'll let you use your imagination. There are plenty of other events happening this upcoming weekend, the second official weekend of spring. So let's run down a few. We'll begin in Ann Arbor, Michigan, where it's the Michigan Disc Golf Organization's event number one of the year. It's called No Foolin'. In Wilmington, North Carolina, the Azalea Tournament. And in Gonzales, Texas, it's the Gonzales Open. Oskaloosa, Iowa. That's fun to say. Oskaloosa. That's the OPC Open there. And in Duncan, Oklahoma, the fifth Duncan Lake Hill Climber Open. Just some of the events happening this weekend. Grab the kids. Go out. Have yourselves some fun. And finally this week, an update on the PDGA International proposal. This went out to 15 countries back in December with the goals of increasing international cooperation and building long-term relationships with all disc golfers outside of North America. So far on board, Sweden and Finland. More updates as we get them. And that is the disc golf news for the week of March 22nd for the PDGA. I'm Brian Sullivan. We invite you to visit our sponsors, Discovering the World. They're online at dtworld.com. And make it a habit. Every Tuesday morning, you'll find fresh content. Just point your browser to pdga.com for all the fresh news. Until next time, keep them in the fairways.